Hi, my name's Michael Porath. I'm interviewing myself. It's April the 8th. I'm going to talk about a little bit of my experiences and relate to you some of the stories that were told to me by the old-timers about the history of the mill. It's my understanding that at one point in time there were no roads in Parchment, and the personnel that ran the mill had to come down the river in canoes until they built roads to get in there. And when they talked about getting a mule to haul a roll of paper from the machines to the finishing department, they meant a real mule, an animal, not a forklift truck. I understand that Jake Kendelberger, when he founded the place, he insisted that everything was immaculate, which is a big difference from the way it was when I came to work for it when it was Brown Company. I understand that the powerhouse at one time sent steam to all the houses in the neighborhood. You could still go into houses on the top of Glendale Hill and see the KVP pipes that were in the basement for the steam to heat the house. It was that at one time the best place to work in Kalamazoo. They were very strict, though. You had to donate time to work in the park, and I understand that if you were cashing your check at a pool hall or a bar, you were called into the office and threatened with dismissal. So Mr. Kendelberger ruled Parchment with an iron hand. I've talked to people that said that he used to drive around, and if you worked at the mill, he'd knock on your door even if you were sleeping, and if you didn't mow your grass, you were going to lose your job. Also, they had a baseball team that was quite famous, and if you could play baseball, that you were qualified to be a supervisor. That was your main job, was to hang out and play baseball for the team. And it's my understanding that at Kendelberger Park, they even had scrimmage matches with the Detroit Tigers. It's pretty interesting how the mill town was really Kendelbergerville. When I came to work there, it was Brown Company, and it was nowhere near as nice as when Kendelberger ran the place. I understand that Kendelberger never laid anybody off. If the business was slow, he found you a job painting or cleaning, and I couldn't believe it from the way the place was when I started working there, that they say you could almost eat off the floor. I started working there in 1976 when it was Brown Company. They paid fairly well. I was only going to stay a summer, but I got used to those big paychecks. But it was a very hot and hostile and dangerous environment. They never repaired any of the equipment. They were always in trouble with OSHA. So if any of you are considering not going on to college and working in some kind of factory, I would strongly urge you not to do it. It is good pay, but it's very dangerous and very, very undesirable place to work. Paper mills are boiling hot in the summer, freezing cold in the winter. So stay in school and continue on with a higher education, because you don't want to experience the 25 years that I did. We used to work 7 days a week. You were obligated to work 12 hours, but most of the time you had to work 16 hours. We even worked on Christmas. We did get paid time and a half and double time for that, but they started you out on what they call a rotating tour. And that's 1 week you work 7 to 3, the next week you work 3 to 11, the next week you work 11 to 7, and the next week you're back on 7 to 3. That's real hard on the body and very dangerous. I started working in the machine room, and the machines were pretty dangerous, and I was pretty frightened of them, so I wangled a change to the beater room. The beater room, at one time, Parchment could process trees. They could actually grind the trees up and bleach the pulp white, and then put it into the beaters and beat it up into a finer substance to be made into paper. That was a very dangerous operation. They used to have chlorine gas, so they had Scott air masks all through the upper floor. It's kind of a shame that they left that to go to ruin, because then they left themselves at the mercy of the Canadian paper market, and they could, you know, they're very consolidated. They could jockey their price up so that we would be strained to make any profit at all, or if the demand would go down, then they would lower their prices. So that you had to stock millions or billions of dollars worth of pulp in the huge warehouses that they had. At the time that I was working in the beta room, I was told that there were, the bales cost right around $600 a bale, and there were at least 100,000 bales in the storage. They stored paper everywhere. I worked in the beta room for 3 or 4 years, and then I injured my back because they were doing the picking up the paper with antiquated equipment and putting in an old-fashioned paper baler. Now they do the work that we did with our backs with a Bobcat. You know, when James Rivers took over, they put a little bit of money into the place and got a little smarter. From there, I worked on a security fire watch, where I would walk around the mill at night and make sure that nothing was on fire or about to burn up. Then I worked in the maintenance warehouse as the receiving clerk for a couple of years. That was pretty interesting. I enjoyed that job. Then I got into the test station. I first broke into the parchment machine test station. There's parchment paper is only made in one other place, the United States, and I don't think it's made there anymore. The French bought the operations from James River, but we used to run paper through acid, and that would make it waterproof, and you could do a lot of things, put silicone on it, just a wide variety of uses for parchment paper. You could use it for baking sheets, and that stuff is still, you can still buy parchment paper, but all that's made in France, as far as I know. There used to be a company called West Carlton that almost bought the parchment in, but they couldn't reach an agreement with the union. Eventually they had a great big 3 foot tall acid house that if you drove your car near it, it would take all the paint off your car. It was an old orange juice reclaimer, and that's how they reclaimed the acid after it got dirty and got sent out there. Parchment End was kind of a dangerous place. Back in the 70s, when jobs were plentiful, they used to have to get prisoners from, or people from prison to come work in the parchment division because nobody wanted that job. And there were times I've told that the prisoners would prefer going back to prison as to working in those fumes. We made a high quality product, and that's how we survived, because all our machines were older and outdated, and they couldn't run as fast as the new machines. But finally they gave up on the parchment division, and there's a vacant field that I'm looking at right now that is where the Mill 1 used to be. I remember they had a hole. All the floors were lined in lead, and they had a hole in the floor that the machine was sagging into, and they brought in something like 150 trucks full of cement, and couldn't even start finding the bottom of that hole. So they braced it with steel, and then just filled it up as best they could. There used to be a job in the maintenance department was called a lead welder, and you got paid quite a bit of money extra for doing that, because it was pretty dangerous to breathe the lead fumes. You know, we didn't. The things we know now, they didn't know back then. And the tetracycline that they use for dry cleaning, they used to use that to clean the silicone off the drums and rollers. And the Environmental Protection Agency made us stop using that, and we went through quite a difficulty finding new substances to clean the machines, and it affected the quality and the production of the paper. They finally did solve the problem, and they started making money again, but James Rivers wasn't interested in really running the plant. They just bought the place to chop it up and sell it off. They got into some trouble. and overseas and got a big fine. And they split the parchment division off into what they called Crown Vantage, and then they settled that that division with all the debt for the fine they got in over in Europe. So they ran it for 5 years with the plans of filing bankruptcy and shutting it down. It's sad because the mill was still making a lot of money, but not enough, I guess, to satisfy the investors of James River. When the mill closed, or the parchment division closed, I moved over to the coating department. That was next to the wax production department. We used to print Christmas paper with our scrap paper and sell it, but we just made a few rolls each year to give to the employees. But we had one machine that would run ivory soap labels 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We did all the Land O'Lakes butter labels, Bazooka bubble gum. You know, the print shop did a nice job of printing up the paper, and then the wax production area put the wax on it. That was pretty good business. Also, we had a big business in oil cans, and that, if you remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember it, but oil used to come in paper cans. Now they come in the plastic bottles. Well, when they went to the plastic bottles, that put a real dent in the coating department. We still made paper for magazines. The big paper machines could make anything from Bible paper to meat wrap. We had a big business in the dog food bag industry. But the machines, I guess, were getting old, and the newer machines were twice as wide and could run twice as fast. Our advantage, the reason we were able to stay away open as long as we did, is that we were very versatile. We could change right on the fly, change colors, change grades. We had a lot of real talented machine tenders. Let's see. Over in Mill 1, they had two really old paper machines, the Pusey and the Horn. They're still standing. The parchment building has been torn down. They used to make the water leaf that we use to make parchment out of, which is a very loose weave that would absorb and the acid and the coatings that we put on there. Their last big contract was with the hospitals. We made hospital paper for hospital gowns. We just couldn't make it fast enough. The company that was buying it from us even asked if they could purchase the equipment and if we'd man it for 5 years, but that wasn't in the plans. Crown was planned to be put down after 5 years, because when you switch corporations, you have to operate at least 5 years. What really killed the paper industry in this area was the river cleanup. All three paper mills went out of business because they didn't want to have to pay for their share of their cleaning up the river. Now, I can remember when the Kalamazoo River looked like somebody's runny nose. We had several multi-million dollar water treatment clarifiers and returned the water to a state that would allow fish to live in it. So the mill was really trying to clean up its act as far as that goes. It just wasn't, you know, at that time you could put money in the stock market and easily make 25%. In a paper mill, you're doing well if you're making a 15% profit, but that wasn't satisfactory to the investors, I guess. I don't know why they decided they didn't want to stay in the business. They guess they figured they could make a whole lot more money with their money in the market than they could operating the mills. They soon found out that didn't last very long. Let's see. I got to work in the coating department. in the test station in or the lab, whatever you want to call it. We did a lot of tests on paper before we would check it for calibration, opacity, brightness. We had to look at it for streaks and marks because this paper had to be perfect because they were going to print magazines on it. Made a lot of dog food paper, paper for dog food bags, and that had to be have a certain amount of I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, it couldn't be so sealed that glue wouldn't stick to it. For a long time, we made the liners for the inside of Kellogg cereal, and then they went to plastic. In the parchment machine room, just about every shingle you bought had parchment paper that was taped to the glue on the back of the shingles, and that was a huge order that ran four machines most of the year. Then, of course, they found a way to use the plastic waste from a factory that was making plastic wrap. They used their end rolls for that. Plus, we had you couldn't recycle parchment paper. We had to find a place to bury it. It would not beat back down into pulp. So when they closed the dump site they had somewhere up near Hartford, that was a real hardship on the parchment paper end. That combined with the Canadians being able to control the cost of the input product and the unwillingness to clean up the environment was pretty much the end of the paper industry in this area. We could have had a cogeneration plant, but the vice president at the time messed around and didn't get the paperwork into consumers until it was a day late. So we lost that opportunity. If that was there, the paper mill would still be running. Paper making is a very interesting process. It's almost an art. And you start learning that at the bottom, and it takes a good 10 or 15 years to learn how to go through all the steps to completely make paper. I had a chance to learn all those during my moves because of the things that they were shutting down. At one point in time, you would get on a job and you'd be there your whole career at the mill. But as they were downsizing, you kept getting shuffled around. So a lot of bad accidents there, lost a few friends. So I know the real value of paper. You should never take paper for granted because it's a very expensive process and very dangerous. And a lot of good people are taking chances with their life so that you can have something to write on. I tried not to come up with doom and gloom about everything, but it is, any industry is inherently dangerous, but this mill seemed to always be in violation of the OSHA requirements, and they just had too many changes in management, and it's sad because at one time the mill employed 2,500 people. Their own everything. If the part broke, they had a foundry. They could rebuild the parts. The maintenance shop, they had everything you needed to build a complete house. They supplied energy to the area. They were just a really self-sufficient city, and it was kind of sad to see it. Things get outsourced and downsized. When the mill closed, we were down to 250 people. I had 25 years in there, and I was one of the junior guys, if that tells you how bad the cuts went. Do I miss the paper mill? You can't work someplace for 25 years and not miss it. I'm glad to see it being turned into something as lovely as the park. I'm going to watch the demolition every day because I have, still some feelings about the place, and it's kind of, I'm hoping that I live long enough to see it converted into a nice place for people to live instead of a noisy, dirty, smelly paper mill. I own the tanning salon that's across the street from where Mill 1 used to be, and when we were putting in the parking lot, we actually found foundations that ran across the street, so I'm assuming that this building at one time was part of the paper mill. I never found out exactly what they did. I can probably assume that it was an outlet store or something like that. I guess on the bright side, it was a good place to make a living. You got kind of drafted into overtime, but without a high school education, you could make easily $75,000 a year working there. You almost had to live there for that kind of money, but there was no place else that I knew of other than some of the other plants that paid as well. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't. But you do get addicted to those checks, and your job gets so routine that you can almost do it in your sleep, which a lot of us did. I'm hoping that it really took a toll. I know it took a toll on Parchment when they went out of here, because the mill just about supplied all the revenue for the city of Parchment for many years. And I'm hoping to see that this new project, I hope that the taxes they get from the houses will replace that, and Parchment will continue to grow, because there must be something to Parchment, because I bought the building right across the street and decided to stay in Parchment. And some of that was I got a good corner part, but the other one was I made a good living in Parchment, and I figured, well, maybe I can continue to do that if I own the building and the business next door. I'm sure there's a million other things that I could tell you. Some of them are funny, some of them are dark, but I'll leave those to your imagination. It was, we used to call it an exercise in survival, and the paper mill, there were jokes that going around that you had to be a survivor to work at the mill, and there were two kinds of people that worked at the mill, the quick and the dead. That was unfortunately very true. You learn to keep your hands in your pocket, and the rule was, if you don't put your hands on anything that you haven't put your eyes on first. I hope some of this is insightful. I tried not to be negative, and it just, it's the bad things that seem to stick out in your mind are the ones you remember. I'm sure there were days that I enjoyed working there, but they were kind of uneventful. I hope you can use this. I struggled with what I was going to say for a long time, because it was difficult to think of something positive to say about the mill other than you made good money, and you could do it with relatively a high school education. The lab was a little more complicated than that, but you got on the job training, which you won't find in too many places anymore. I guess I'll end this now, because I can't think of too many other things to say. I look forward to that area being cleaned up and beautified, and that property put back to productive use. Thanks for listening to me. You can feel free to edit this. I guess that's about all I have to say about working at the mill. Thanks. Bye. I guess I'm going to add to the interview a little bit. I have this questionnaire that I got from the library. It says, what is your full name? My full name is Michael Wesley Porath. I was born in Saginaw, Michigan in 1952. I live in Westwood right now. My personal connections to the Parchment area is I worked in the Parchment area for 25 years. I'm single. My parents came here to build Bradford West Apartments. My dad was in the construction business. I don't have any other family members in the area right now. My sister did live in Parchment, and my nephew is educated in Parchment. He's doing quite well. He's 2 years into his engineering degree at Western. The first thing I can remember about Parchment was some friends took me to Kendallberger Park, and we played some baseball. The smells, you could smell the mill. There was no doubt that there was a paper mill there. It seemed like a very nice community. The people were very friendly. They tried to keep the place looking nice. I remember hearing about Parchment. You were recommended to stay out of Parchment because they would give you a speeding ticket for 1 mile over the speed limit. I know that's true because I got one. I think that was kind of a backwards way of thinking because it did keep a lot of business out of Parchment. I'm hoping that they have learned their lesson. They run several restaurants out of business with that overzealous patrolling. You need to keep the traffic to a reasonable limit, but they were just ridiculous. Let's see, coming in contact with Parchment, I knew just about everybody that owned or operated a store here. I remember meeting first Curtis, works for the city. He helped me with my remodeling, or gave me good advice to go and get my remodeling plans on the building I bought. On the job, my co-workers, some of them were my best friends and some of them were my worst enemies. It was quite a place. You know, there were just some great people and there were some people that just should be locked up. They were sick in the head. The personalities of my family members, my dad worked after the building business went down. He worked at Borges Hospital. He was a striker bed mechanic. He loved it there. They finally made him a supervisor, and he passed away just a couple years ago, and we really miss him. The kind of games, I used to love to play softball, and a lot of times we came to Parchment. My favorite pastime, I love to go to the movies and the theater. Family chores, sure, I had all the family chores. In my era, the boys did the outside jobs and the girls did the inside jobs. I had three sisters, so I did very little in the house. When I moved away from home, I nearly starved to death till I figured out how to cook. And I had a lot of pink and blue underwear because I didn't know that you have to separate those things, because I never had any experience with that. But thanks to a lot of my friends, I'm doing much better now. I attended Kalamazoo Central. That was a really bad time. They had a lot of race riots and fights, and it was just a horrible place to go to school. It was difficult to learn anything because you couldn't even go in the bathroom without taking five or six of your friends. When we got out of high school, we were going straight to Vietnam. So we really partied hardy, and I never thought that I'd live to be the age that I am now. I used to run a little track, but then I got a job at Myers. I decided that I wanted to have a car so I could get dates and drive the girls around. So I quit the sports and took the job at Myers. I worked there for several years, worked up into management, and then I left there to come to the mill because the Myers was having a struggle during the early 70s. Well, the whole economy was, and it just didn't look to me like there was as good a future as there would be in a factory, and they paid me quite a bit more. My religion, we're Lutheran. I'm a member of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Portage. I don't think I was ever mentioned in the newspaper in relation to parchment, except for that when we were on strike, we got our picture in the paper when they were taking pictures of the picket lines. Let's see, what events had the most impact on you when you were growing up? I'd have to say the Vietnam War. That was a constant worry. A typical family dinner, that's one of my favorites. My mother and father would always cook a beef roast with the carrots in the gravy, or the carrots and the potatoes and everything, and they'd start that, and we'd go to church, and by the time we got home, the house just smelled heavenly, and then we got to feast on the roast. I still, to this day, that's my favorite piece of meat because of the my childhood. We celebrated all the holidays, all the non-Jewish, and we didn't celebrate that, but the Protestant or Catholic holidays, Christmas, New Year's, all that stuff. Festivals and gathering in Kendenberger Park. Other than playing a little softball there, I didn't really go to a lot of that. Parchment's different. The mill's not there, so the money in the area has kind of gone down. The buildings have around the area haven't been remodeled in a long time, and they're looking kind of sad. Never met my spouse because I'm single and never been married. Would you consider a life in parchment, a sexual life in parchment, and how did that affect that? Parchment was a good place to make a living. If it wasn't for the paper mill, I wouldn't have the money to own the building that I do. I got to travel through Europe and cruise the Caribbean. My profession was a paper maker. I kind of fell into it. I used to be a manager at Myers, and a young guy that used to work for me introduced me to the employment supervisor, and I ended up working in the mill. Yeah, it doesn't take long to get addicted to those paychecks. What would I like people to remember most about Parchment? Well, it's a nice little clean community, and they try their best to keep it that way. The stores that I frequented in Parchment, of course, the drugstore, Scooter D's, it's what used to be Dick and Sills, the deli in Harding's, that's where I lived on because we worked so many hours. We'd just walk in and they'd ask you how many meals you needed, and they kind of knew what you wanted. The paper mill, what effect did it have on me and my family? Well, it kept me alive for 25 years. I've got a permanent back injury that I'll have forever. My family, I don't think it affected them at all. But that's gone. I've gone through the list, and if any of that's helpful to you, you know, with all its positives and negatives, I really think that Parchment is a good place to be. Their taxes are too high. And they need to get that project going because that mill looks terrible and it's dangerous. But once they get that done, this is going to be a premier place to live. I hope I made some suggestions to one of the employees at the Parchment City Hall that they put in windmills and maybe supply electricity at a discounted rate to the people in Parchment or something to bring people into the area to buy all those new houses that they're going to do. I'd love to see them follow through on that. I'd recommend living in Parchment. It has its ups and downs, but basically it's a good place. The people are friendly. The police department's very nice. They've been very helpful to me with any problems I've had. They even helped me design some of the security things that I have in here. The city hall is pretty cooperative. When it comes to getting signs or anything like that, it's kind of like pulling teeth. If they were going to improve everything, they would make that an easier process and adapt more to the codes of the counties all around them, because a lot of things are made to a standard size, but with Parchment's rules, you have to have everything custom made, and that's a real extra expense. I remember putting up a sign; it cost me double because I couldn't get a variance on the size of the sign. So it has ups and downs, but I'd say all in all, still a pretty good place to live. It's got a bright future with that building complex, and I hope that it only improves Parchment and kind of then Parchment keeps its small town character. I guess I'm through that list. I'm not real good with microphones. They make me nervous, and I apologize for that. So, good luck. Thanks. Oh, and last but not least, I forgot, the paper mill donated the property for the library, and the library is my absolute most favorite place in West Michigan. They have a lovely selection of DVDs and books, and they're so helpful and nice and polite. I just love going there. I think that's the best thing that ever came out of that paper mill was that library, and it's kept up so nicely. It's probably the biggest asset to the Parchment area. Some people would say the park, but for me, it's the library. I want to thank them for giving me this opportunity to speak my mind. I hope I wasn't too negative, but it was a rough place to work there. And that is one of the gems in the crown, the main gem in the crown of the city of Parchment is the public library. Thank you. I hope I turn this thing off all right.